الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بينا لكم الآيات إن كنتم تعقلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Holy Quran that, O you who believe, do not take as protecting friends those outside your ranks, those outside your religious community. They will not fail to corrupt you. Their only desire is to destroy you. Rank hatred has already appeared from their mouths, and what their hearts conceal is far worse. We have made plain to you the signs, if only you think, if only you understand. Last week we introduced the subject of the Afghan Holocaust, in which we first congratulated the indigenous Afghan people who took over all the formerly occupied Afghanistan from the most powerful and the most tyrannical empire the world has ever known, as well as completely subjugated the collaborator government, the hypocritical traitors within their own rank who colluded with the United States and its coalition forces. The utterly mendacious and racist United States and the US-dominated Western media have trumpeted ad nauseum a dishonest, hysterical, indeed an Orwellian US narrative to the contrary. They have portrayed the Afghan liberators of their own land as barbarians, while the United States and its coalition forces have all along been the barbarians, the demons who have tormented these poverty-stricken people for more than 20 years. The United States alone has killed over 6.8 million Afghans since 9/11. The horrendous realities of the United States alliance-imposed Afghan genocide have been completely ignored by Western mainstream media, including Australian media, for the last 20 years. There's been a criminal cover-up of their depredations in Afghanistan. Also, as we mentioned last week, what has been resolutely ignored by Western mainstream media is that since the United States had restored the opium industry, which the then Taliban government had destroyed, over 5.8 million people have died across the world because of this opiate crisis that has been sponsored by the United States and the Allied forces, including the Australian Armed Forces. We also emphasized last week how the war on terror, which effectively was a war on Muslims, has consumed over $6 trillion of US taxpayer revenue. And every single year, about 1.7 million Americans die preventably, not being able to access basic medical services. They die because of malnutrition in the United States, the most advanced Western state. 1.7 million Americans die every year because of poverty, because of pollution, to name a few causes. So those $6 trillion spent over the last 20 years in slaughtering poverty-stricken peoples across the world could have better been spent at least to alleviate the suffering of American people. Which draws us to the conclusion that the United States has greater contempt and hatred of Muslims than it has love for its own people. We also went on to compare the infant mortality rates in the occupied Afghanistan, given that in the United States, under one infant mortality deaths per 1,000 are six. Namely, for every 1,000 births in the United States, there are six deaths. That is the infant mortality rate. Compared to US-occupied Afghanistan, the infant mortality rate is 111, almost 20 times more, 20 times higher an infant mortality rate under US supervision. If we take the maternal mortality ratio in US-occupied Afghanistan, comparing it to the United States, for every 100,000 live births, 14 women lose their lives in the United States, compared to Afghanistan, where 1,200 Afghan women die because of the awful conditions under which they live. Almost 100 times more women die in Afghanistan per 100,000 live births than in the United States. These all constitute war crimes. We know this much, that the United States will never be punished for these war crimes. While it claims to be a strict adherent of the rules-based world order, it violates every rule. If you take also the kill ratio in Afghanistan, the Afghan war has afforded the United States the ignominy of a kill ratio of 1,970 to 1. For every one American soldier killed, 1,970 Afghan civilians have been slaughtered. If you compare this to the arch Western demon Adolf Hitler, we find that it is more than 200 times greater than the kill ratio of the Nazis under Adolf Hitler. The kill ratio was 1 to 10. For every one Nazi soldier killed, 10 civilians were slaughtered. Whereas we find with the United States, in its dastardly occupation of Afghanistan, the kill ratio is 1,970 civilians killed for every one American soldier killed. If you look at the post-9/11 Muslim death toll across the world as a consequence of the United States' prosecution of this criminal war on Muslims, 32 million Muslims have been slaughtered. For the supposed 3,000 killed in New York on 9/11 because of so-called Muslim terrorists, we spoke about it last week, who really was culpable. But even if you go by their falsehoods and they're attributing this murderous act to Muslims, we find that the kill ratio is 1 to 10,667. For every one American killed on that day, 10,667 innocent Muslims across the world were slaughtered. In other words, the arch Western demon, Adolf Hitler, proves far more benign than the average American or Australian who has endorsed this war. And we concluded last week that we are effectively living in Nazi Germany. Worse still, America's horrendous historical record of genocidal violence against all non-European peoples around the world, from extermination of indigenous people to nuclear and non-nuclear destruction of entire cities, this war against non-Western people still continues. The Second World War did not end in 1945. It has continued up to today for non-Western people. Racism is evil. And genocide is the ultimate in racism. If you look at Article 2 of the United Nations Genocide Convention, it defines genocide as an act committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national or ethnic or racial or religious group. The Afghans have suffered a genocide based on this definition, because the Afghan genocide is associated with 6.8 million Afghan deaths in the last 20 years. An ethnic group, a national group, a religious group targeted by the United States. A form of collective punishment for crime they never committed. Not a single Afghan was responsible for the 9/11 attacks. They were all Saudi citizens, supposedly, and it was orchestrated by rogue elements within the United States government and, obviously, the primary beneficiary, Israel. If you include the 10 years of war with the Russians, along with the last 20 years with the Americans, the Afghan deaths in this 43 years of big power instigated violence is 13 million. 13 million Afghans alone have been slaughtered. So this is an immense crime. It's a crime against humanity. And it demands a war crime tribunal before the International Criminal Court for the perpetrators of this Holocaust, this Afghan genocide. But the tragic reality is that this will never happen. The United States, Australia, England, France, these countries will never be hauled before the International Criminal Court. This is exclusively for non-European peoples. This is white justice in the 21st century. The ICC, the International Criminal Court, is a racist institution which cravenly accepts the authority of the criminal Anglo-American and Zionist hegemons. That is why no Zionist head of state, in spite of all the human rights crimes they've been guilty of, will ever be hauled before the International Criminal Court. No American or English or Australian head of state will ever be hauled before the International Criminal Court. John Howard, along with Tony Blair and George Bush, were indicted for crimes against humanity in absentia in Malaysia a few years ago, and all evidence presented proved beyond a shadow of doubt that they were certainly guilty. But that verdict is not worth the paper it's written on, because in this age, might is right, and the victor determines what is just, namely the United States. In Australia, every year we macabrely celebrate death by commemorating soldiers who have served Australia's bloodlust across the world. In Australia, as I mentioned, the most sanctified day is Anzac. You can insult God in Australia. You can insult your own mother in Australia, but you dare not insult Australia's war dead, because Australia worships death. And every year we commemorate Australian soldiers, harbingers of death, who have served Australia's bloodlust over the last 200 years. No one ever condemns the war criminals, the criminal politicians, who sent these Australian soldiers to avoidable and illegal wars. If you look at US lackey Australia, it's been involved in all post-1950 US Asian wars, while no Asian country has ever declared war against Australia except Japan. And if you look at post-1950, after the Second World War, no single Asian country had ever represented an existential threat to Australia. No single Asian country had ever landed soldiers on Australian shores. Yet Australia, since 1950, has been involved in over 50 incursions into Asian countries, along with the United States. And its atrocities are associated with over 40 million Asian deaths since 1950. And this is from violence and from war-imposed deprivation. And 40 million, do you know what 40 million is? It equals to as many civilian deaths in World War II. So World War II has never ended for non-Western people. And it continues till this very day. Australia is also ignoring its obligation to justice. It claims to be part of the international rules-based order. And you've heard Scott Morrison regurgitating this claim ad nauseum over the last 2 weeks. We are part of the international rules-based order. And they insist on the new rulers of Afghanistan to conform to this rules-based order, while Australia itself has ignored its complicity in all sorts of atrocities over the last few centuries. If you take, and let's add them up, if you take the Afghan Holocaust between 2001 and 2021, Australia has been complicit in 6.8 million deaths of innocent peoples, while Afghanistan never represented an existential threat. Neither did a single Afghan soldier ever put his feet on Australian soil. Yet Australia has been responsible for 6.8 million Afghan deaths. If you look at the Iraqi Holocaust from 2003 to 2011, 2.7 million Iraqis, innocent Iraqis, were slaughtered based on a lie. There were no weapons of mass destruction, and Saddam Hussein was not complicit in the 9/11 attacks. And this is admitted to by even the cretin Prime Minister John Howard. It was a war based on a lie. But 2.7 million Muslims in Iraq are now dead as a consequence of that lie. Take the Palestinian genocide from 1914 onwards, where Australia, along with England and the United States, has been responsible for over 2 million Palestinian deaths. And after the establishment of the State of Israel, collaborating with that racist, illegal state, 2 million Palestinian deaths. So we've got 6.8 million plus 2.7 million, plus another 2 million, do the math. When it comes to post-1950 US-Asian wars, from 1950 onwards, Australia has been guilty of complicity in another 40 million deaths in Asia. If you look at the post-9/11 Muslim Holocaust, from 2001 onwards, Australia again has been complicit in 32 million Muslim deaths. If you look at the World War II Bengali Holocaust, from 1942 to 1945, 7 million Muslim Bengalis were starved to death, and Australia is complicit in that, along with the British Empire. And if you look at the ongoing Australian Aboriginal genocide from 1788 onwards, Australia is complicit in the death of over 2 million Aborigines and counting. So the question is, who really is the demon here? Who really is the existential threat to civilized society? Who really is a threat to humanity at large? So to conclude, and to summarize the bayan over the last 2 weeks, The Afghan Holocaust and the Afghan genocide has been associated with at least 6.8 million Afghan deaths from violence and war-imposed deprivation. The United States alliance, including Australia, has grossly violated the Fourth Geneva Convention, the UN Genocide Convention, and numerous other international humanitarian conventions. They are certainly not part of a rules-based international order. This atrocity has been enabled by the racism within Australia and the mendacity of Western mainstream journalists, including Australian journalists, the editors of mainstream publications, the politicians, the academics, the commentariat prostitutes have all enabled this war. They've enabled this genocide. They've enabled this Holocaust. And each and every one of them are culpable. Each and every one of them are responsible. Unfortunately, the awful truth is comprehensively suppressed, and suppressed till today in the self-assertedly democratic West, who claim to be champions of free speech and Australia a fair dinkum country of the fair go. They disingenuously boast about freedom of expression and about upholding journalistic integrity, but they are subject to media control by racist big money. If you look at the world hero, an Australian hero, Julian Assange, an Australian citizen, outspoken in his criticism of these depredations across the world. He has been incarcerated for over 10 years now for revealing American and Australian documented war crimes. All he did was speak the truth. And for the last 10 years, he's been incarcerated. So in United States lackey corporatocracy and Zionist murdocracy Australia, which is what Australia is, the United States Alliance war crimes are ignored and deliberately hidden by the mainstream media and by Australian politicians. They are all liars. But what can we do? What can decent Australians also do? Well, as Muslims, first and foremost, we must make dua for retribution. We must make dua that Allah punishes and destroys the oppressor. We certainly are weak. We are like the Bani Israel, the children of Israel in Egypt under the tyrannical Fir'aun. We have been crushed underfoot. We are enslaved. But the prayers, the dua of Musa alayhi salam, for the destruction of Fir'aun certainly were heard by the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the tyrant in plain sight of the believers. The same Allah who destroyed the Fir'aun of old is the same Allah that inshallah will destroy the greater Pharaoh of today. Even Fir'aun was not guilty of these many depredations across the world. The United States and Australia and so many of the coalition of the willing are the pharaohs of this time. So we as Muslims must make dua for their destruction. And inshallah, Allah will hear our duas like Allah heard the duas of the weak, the depraved Bani Israel in the time of Musa. The Muslim Ummah today is like the Bani Israel before the Exodus. This is where we place ourselves religiously. But even then we have an Allah who's merciful. Even then we have an Allah who hears the petition of the oppressed. We must also make dua for the victory and conquest of the Muslims over all the world, inshallah. And we must make dua for those Muslims who are fighting against oppression everywhere in the world, like the Muslims of Afghanistan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Holy Quran that مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is wrong with you, O believers, that you do not fight in the path of Allah? And this is directed specifically at those Muslim heads of state that do command armies. What is wrong with them that they do not fight in the path of Allah? And what is the path of Allah? وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ. The path of Allah includes the path of fighting for those men, innocent men, and women, and children, those civilians whose cry is, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا. What is the cry of the oppressed? O Allah, rescue us from this land whose people are oppressors. وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. And O Allah, raise for us from you one who will be a protector. وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا. And O Allah, raise for us from you one who will be our helper. So this is the dua that Allah instructs that the Muslims make, the oppressed Muslims. And this is the castigation by Allah of those Muslims who do have the means, the Muslim heads of state who do command armies, but who have been betraying the Ummah over the last 100 years. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is wrong with you? How decrepit and rotten are your souls that you do not fight in the path of Allah to defend the oppressed? That is the first we must do as Muslims. Make dua. Make dua for destruction of this kafir, Fir'auni order. The second, we must inform everyone we can of the true nature of this despicable pharaonic order. We must inform our compatriots. There are good people amongst the Australian community who will certainly respond. Most of them simply do not know. The third is that we need to urge and apply boycotts and divestment and sanctions in our own personal capacity by what we purchase against all people and all politicians and all parties and all collectives and corporations and countries that are involved in any and all violent military invasions and occupation of other countries. So familiarize yourself with those multinational corporations who are complicit in the decimation of those non-Western countries. Don't buy their products. Don't use their services. Boycott them. This is your moral and Islamic obligation. Failing which, you too become guilty of complicity in the crime. And you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. Especially banking your money. Take your money out of the banks. Keep a little safe at home. But remove your money from these banking institutions because they are the arch purveyors of these depredations across the world. Next, as Muslims, we need to insist on truth-telling and justice for all victims of genocidal US and US alliance war, including Australian complicity and genocidal racist exceptionalism, which is what the Australian Anglo-Saxon leadership perceives themselves to be, exceptional, Teflon-coated untouchables. We need to tell the truth. We need to expose and insist that action be done in whatever way we can, at least within our own social circle. Each one of us spends hours and hours on social media. We need to be more vocal. At the very least, we must keep ourselves informed of what is truly happening in the world. We cannot ignore what is happening in the world. We cannot become armchair Muslims, contenting ourselves on the weekly khutbah about kindness to parents and completely ignoring the criminal conduct of powerful nations across the world. Imams especially have to be more vocal because the world is looking for guidance and the ummah is looking for leadership, and imams have to be taking full responsibility, failing which they are also culpable. They are guilty of dereliction of their responsibility. And it is very rarely in Perth that you find a bayan, a lecture, that openly castigates our heads of state. But we can also do it, at least keep ourselves informed, keep our families informed, keep our colleagues informed. Lastly, we need to do whatever is required to ensure that at least our children are protected. And if circumstances become more foreboding for Muslims, if circumstances become more oppressive even for us here, then we need to make preparations now for migrating to safer lands, seeking asylum in other lands. Seek asylum in Sweden, in Japan. Seek asylum in China, because Australia is rapidly falling down that slippery slope to fascism. Just two generations ago, the very same Europeans were jackbooting through Europe. Fascism was the norm. Well, the very same is happening now. So may Allah protect us. Make dua for success for the righteous mujahideen. And make dua for the destruction of this tyrannical order. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ